Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest. You watch him on DAZN, host of the great baseball whip-around show Change Up. You see him on MLB Network as well. In fact, I joined him last week for a fun show for MLB Now. He's also a cinephile and host of that exact named podcast, Cinephile, the Adnan Virk movie podcast. Adnan joins us here on the show. Adnan, good morning.
DA, what's going on, man? Love the energy first thing in the morning, although it's not the first thing in the morning. You've been up since 4 a.m., so good to be reunited, my friend.
Yes, you too. What'd you think about Parasite winning Best Picture?
Phenomenal. It was a very predictable Oscars and a very disappointing Oscars in terms of pure entertainment. I'm trying to watch the Academy Awards, which rewards film history. Instead, the Grammys broke out. I don't know why the hell I'm watching Janelle Monáe do the opening. I don't care about Eminem. Why is he singing Lose Yourself? My man Marty Scorsese, he's just trying to catch a cat nap. I'm like, it was just brutal. And all the awards were going by chalk, DA, which is why I was doing so great. I was 11 for 11 on my Oscar ballot.
Wow.
And then thankfully, Parasite wins Best Director. And I like Sam Mendes. Listen, he's a great director. He won for American Beauty 20 years ago. Skyfall is the best James Bond movie of recent memory. Revolutionary Road's a good drama. Road to Perdition's excellent. But Bong Joon-ho is on a different level with Parasite. And when he won Best Director, he said, oh, my God. As sports fans, we know that collective shock in the room when an upset is brewing. And that was a giant upset because Mendes had won the DGA, which is the Directors Guild Award. He'd won the BAFTA, which is the British Academy Awards. And he'd won the Golden Globe Best Director. So Bong Joon-ho wins. His speech is tremendous. Of course, he thanks Scorsese immediately. He's a living legend. He thanks Tarantino because of what he's done for Asian cinema. And he figures his night is over. And then sure enough, 1917 wins Best Picture, as you mentioned. It shouldn't be a total shock only for this reason. It had won the Best Ensemble from the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild Award, and that was the first ever foreign film to do so. And there's been times, I remember Spotlight was a notable example of a film that won the SAG Best Ensemble, had not won anything else. But 1917 was still the big favorite, DA. Listen, they won the PGA, which is the Producers Guild Award. 8 of the last 10 winners, including Green Book last year, that won the PGA, won Best Picture. It won the BAFTA Best Picture. It won the Golden Globe Best Motion Picture Drama. So 1917 losing was an upset, but the bottom line is this. You ask me, am I happy with it? Absolutely I am, because 1917 is a technically superior film. Roger Deakins is an incredible cinematographer. Thank God he won for cinematography for 1917, his second award in 15 nominations. But Parasite is the more memorable film. It's the more audacious film. It takes more chances. You've seen war films of the ilk of 1917, and I don't think the story was particularly notable. Parasite was truly special.
Huh. Adnan Virk movie podcast called Cinephile to get his thoughts on the Oscars. Okay, on to baseball here. What do you think the proper way the Astros should handle coming out of this meeting with the clubhouse and Jim Crane?
Well, you've got to come and collectively address the media. And the way it is, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to answer two questions and I'm not going to say anything else, or I'm going to read from a prepared statement and no follow-ups. That's the first thing. You've got to at least listen. You have not addressed the issue yet, so you got to let the sharks who smell blood in the water, let them attack, okay? So you've got to say, listen, we're going to do 30 minutes here. We might read from a prepared statement. Okay, fine. Then we're going to speak from the heart. And after that, questions, and you have at it. Ask anything you want. Now, I don't have to answer every question. I can say, well, I don't really want to go into detail or no comment on that. That's fine. But you can't tell the media, hey, we haven't talked, and now we're going to talk, and now it's two questions, and that's it. So I think you have to have that moment. This is the most difficult day for the Astros, okay? You're going to have to face the music, and you let everybody ask what they want to ask. You don't have to go into detail if you don't want to, but you have to let the questions be asked that want to be asked. And after that, you can say, hey, moving forward, guys, we're not going to talk about this. If somebody's late to the party, some media member shows up next week and asks us, hey, I'm sorry, I just want to get your thoughts, we're not going to talk about it. But today, we're going to talk about it, and we'll answer every single thing that you guys want.
Did you think that A.J. Hinch ducked Tom Verducci's question about the buzzers?
Yeah, I didn't think it was great. Listen, as you know, as we said, being an MLB Network, I talked to one of the producers who was putting it together, and I said, it's 30 minutes? I said, oh, my God, don't you need like 6 minutes? Like, okay, I did or didn't do it. Here's what happened. All right, cool, got it, move on. And so I was amazed in the course of all that amount of time that, to your point, that specific question, which is what people would want answered, I don't think he answered as well as he could have. I don't want to say he ducked it necessarily, but I will say he did not answer, I think, as well as he could have.
It feels like to me out of that answer that A.J. Hinch just doesn't want to paint himself into another corner, that if other stuff comes out, he does not want to be on record saying we did not do this or we did do that. Do you think that's the read there?
Yeah, I think it's almost like, listen, you got us on this stuff. There may be some other stuff which has not come to light, or there may be some circumstantial stuff on other stuff which cannot be proven. And so rather than admit to something before I have to, let me just focus on what's at hand right now. I mean, it's classic. I mean, listen, I'm not a lawyer, but if you asked, I've watched enough lawyer movies. I mean, the lawyers will tell you, listen, just admit to what you have to. After that, we'll see what happens. You take each step as it comes. So you're right. You don't want A.J. Hinch to say, okay, here's exactly what transpired and nothing else, because he doesn't need to say that yet. So I think in his own mind, it's like, listen, come out right now, apologize for what happened here, say you wish that this hadn't happened. But you're right. He's not giving extensive detail as to other stuff.
Adnan Virk joins us, DAZN, Changeup, MLB Network joining us here on the show. With Marwin Gonzalez apologizing, showing remorse, it shows yet another former Astro taking that tack. Do you think that's because the former Astros have to face their opponents now in those clubhouses, and their opponents, now their teammates, are very bitter about how the Astros won?
Yeah, I think it's been easier, DA, for the former teammates. Like you said, Gonzalez and Keiko, both those guys, very forthright and very accountable. And I think part of that is once you're away from the situation, it's easier, right? So that the house is no longer burning. Hey, I'm over here on the other side of town. I want to say I'm sorry about what happened over there, but I'm moving on with my life. So it's easier to extricate yourself from the situation when you're no longer involved in it day to day. But part of it, too, is exactly what you said. I think you're trying to regain respect and with your teammates, because I am sure there's going to be new teammates who say, listen, welcome the team. Yeah, you're a member of our team, but I don't like what you did, and I don't respect what you did. So I'm not 100% in favor of you as a person, but you're a member of the team. We'll try to move past that. But absolutely, how could guys not have a little bit of grudges or reservations about them? How would that even be humanly possible? Think about the Dodgers, especially if any of those former Astros went to the Dodgers. How could those guys not be a little chilly towards and say, listen, you cost us, you robbed us potentially of a World Series, and now you expect me to pat you in the back here and expect everything's okay? It doesn't work that way.
What'd you make of the floated proposal of the revamped postseason idea?
At first, yeah, I didn't like it for this simple purpose. I like the fact that fewest teams in baseball make the playoffs. I don't like the fact, as much as I love hockey, in hockey and basketball, 16 of 30 make it. I was, come on, what's the point of the regular season when over half the teams make the playoffs? Football, pretty good. 12 of 30 makes sense. In baseball, I love it the most. I say, hey, only a third of the teams make it. That first wild card came in 94, which was flawed because all of a sudden the wild card team could go all the way to the World Series. You go, hang on a second. Well, why is it the equal playing field with division winners? They solved that a little bit by adding the fifth team, the second wild card in 2012. But I do see a sense of, listen, one game is kind of unfair. I mean, these teams are grinding through 162, and all of a sudden, if your starting pitcher gets shelled, or if you had to use your best ace on the final day of the regular season, now I can't use them in the wild card game, it feels a little bit, you know, odd. So I do like the idea of a best of three. Having said that, adding two more teams, now I say, hang on a second, now returning to March Madness, now 14 of 30 teams make the playoffs. I don't like that as much, but again, I do like rewarding the team with the best record. So I like the fact that number one team gets the bye, and then 2, 3, 4 facing 5, 6, 7. And the idea of two or three picking their opponent on TV, I've always said sports is the best reality television out there. I know it's gimmicky, but could also be fun, because imagine if you're the Yankees a season ago, they could have picked, they were the number two team, they would have picked one of the Rays, Indians, or Red Sox. And how funny would it have been if they said, okay, of those teams, the Red Sox appear to be the weakest, we're going to pick our mortal rival, or no, we're going to duck them and go with the Rays or in our division or the Indians, whatever it is. It kind of goes back to playground basketball or baseball or hockey, whatever it is. When you're picking teams, oh, really, you don't think I'm that good? I'm the last pick? Well, I'm going to show you. I agree it's a little gimmicky, but there's something to it. And listen, playoff baseball is the best. It's my favorite time of year. If you want to give me some more games on top of what I already have, I'm not going to quibble with that.
Do you think that there are executives worried or nervous about being put in that position to, quote-unquote, disrespect some of their peers or their opponents?
Yeah, because, listen, it's not like it's a private hush-hush matter. This is going to be a televised event on ESPN or MLB Network or Fox or whatever, so I mean, literally, you have like Aaron Boone staring into the camera. We want you, like Uncle Sam saying, I want you. I'm like, that could be an awkward moment, I think, certainly for executives, because they're going to have to try to couch it. It's like, well, we want them because we feel that our team matches up the best. No, we think we can beat them. That's it. We think of the three teams out there, we think they're the weakest. We're picking on the weakest to go furthest. I think it'll be awkward, certainly for some executives. For the players, I think they might get a kick out of it.
Adnan Virk is our guest this morning on the show. Let me just tell you, I know I spoke to you off air on MLB Network about going to see 1917. I finally did over the weekend. And I got one of those theaters where they kick out the recliner seats so your legs go up and you recline.
Nice. Yeah.
My good Adnan, I haven't done this before. This is a game changer.
Oh, yeah. DA, it's almost too good. Like when people say, oh, why go to the movies? You know, I can just watch it on Netflix. I'm like, no, but seriously, you pay the $14, the reclining seats, I'm like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And if it's a bad movie, you get a little nap in. And if it's a great movie, you're even more comfortable. And 1970, as I said to you, listen, that's a movie for the big screen. With Deakin cinematography, the sound mixing with your 1:4, I mean, that's truly a theatrical experience. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, it was awesome. It was one of the best films I've seen in a long time. I was surprised it didn't win Best Picture, but I did not see Parasite yet, so yeah. I can't say one way or the other. Follow Adnan Virk on Twitter, at Adnan S. Virk. Watch him on DAZN as part of Change Up, an awesome whip-around highlight show nightly on DAZN when it comes to baseball and also on MLB Network. It's good to catch up with you again, my man. Thanks so much for doing it today.
Anytime, DA. Take care, brother.
You too. Adnan Virk joining us this morning here on the show. Good stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.